Welcome to the inaugural episode of Cruising Through Cinema. I'm your host, ladies and gentlemen, Dennis Burkett, joined once again for the first time.
Hey, Ryan. Howdy, howdy.
Yeah, it's Dennis and Ryan, and this is Cruising Through Cinema, the podcast that takes you on an exhilarating journey through the illustrious filmography of the one, the only, Tom Cruise.
Wait, this isn't about Speed 2? Son of a... I'm out. Son of a bitch! Nope.
Cruising Through Cinema, get it? It's a pun slash dad joke.
Okay, yes. That makes sense, yeah.
Tom Cruise, the name itself...
When
I say Tom Cruise, what do you think of?
His teeth are off center.
I think of intensity, charisma, and an unwavering dedication to his craft. And that craft is amazing filmmaking and running.
Yeah, I've only seen one bad movie with him in it.
What movie would that be? The one we just watched.
The one we're going to discuss tonight. Endless Love.
Endless Love. Yeah, so this will be a chronological romp through the filmography.
We got 50 years to cover, boys and girls, yeah, so let's go.
We've got decades of cinema to watch.
More like 10. I mean, 40. But decades. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Decades to watch through. Whether it's him running for... his life in a Mission Impossible movie.
Or just running away from corrupt people in the firm.
Running a brothel in his parents' house while they're away on vacation and dancing around in his tidy whities.
Oh, you're talking about Eyes Wide Shut. Yeah. Oh.
Or,
Maybe I have a lot more to watch than I thought.
Or him using his autistic brother to bring down the house in Las Vegas.
Or the very underrated, I would guess, I haven't seen it, but I'll watch it, the movie where he stars with Brad Pitt and a very young Kirsten Dunst as a vampire, maybe against his own will, The Vampire Diaries. No, wait, that's not right. It's Interview with a Vampire.
Interview with a Vampire. Or, to keep it going, or whether or not you are learning that Robin is racing.
In Days of Thunder, yeah. He used a slingshot move on Nicole Kidman's thighs.
Yes, and let's see, Night and Day. I mean, I don't know, I've seen that movie once and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I hope it holds up.
So, Dennis, do you have the need?
The need for speed. Streamlined Butterfly. I love Tom Cruise movies.
Speaking of Tom Cruise,
how do we do this and not reference Top Gun? Just too on the nose. We're trying to demonstrate that we know the depths of his filmography.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I think Top Gun and Top Gun Maverick were like the super low hanging fruit, so we didn't say it on purpose.
Yes. Great. I almost said Top Gun. I want butts, and I want them now.
Negative Ghost Rider. The pattern is full. God, mm-hmm. That's still a smashing soundtrack to Top Gun. Man.
Yes.
Playing with the Boys. I mean, forget Danger Zone. Playing with the Boys takes it.
Playing with the Boys. Yeah, but I mean, beach volleyball is great, but combat football.
Dogfight football. Yeah, dogfight football is real. I watched that and I was very confused on how that worked. But
I don't think the rules exist in dogfight football.
You think it's something that Mr. Cruise just made up?
I think so.
Because let's be honest, he was the real mastermind behind that movie.
I mean, I'm... movies like Collateral and Show Me the Money, which is
Jerry Maguire,
but there's also Color of Money.
Plays... with Paul Newman?
No. Fun fact, we'll get to this in a couple weeks, but Color of Money, he plays a name of a character that's also the same character name of the dude from Collateral, and there's like this whole like connected Tom Cruise...
Yeah,
Vincent, there's this whole connected universe.
That's the
Color of Money guy.
That's such a good movie. I forgot how good Collateral is.
It's great. I watched it probably about a year ago.
Remember when he bites it on the chair and just like gets up like it's nothing?
It's amazing. And you know that was all, he does his own stunt. So you know that actually happened.
Like, I have a theory about that, but I can't say it because I don't want to get us pulled.
It's Xenu?
No, I have a theory he's trying to... fake his own death to get out of something, and he's doing these crazy stunts on purpose, like hanging from a plane in Mission Impossible.
Yeah, that movie, is that in this one that's coming out this summer, or is that the sequel to this one?
I think it's in Dead Reckoning. I think it's the first part.
Dead Reckoning Part 1.
Yeah, which...
it's appointment cinema, folks.
A little sidebar. Why does everything have to be two parts nowadays? Give me the five-hour Dead Reckoning cut.
You know what I was glad that wasn't two parts? Endless Love.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, this movie was hot garbage.
So Dyer, do you want to give people the synopsis of Endless Love?
Yeah, so basically two people fall in love and then they kill each other. Oh, no, wait, that's Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, I thought this was going for that, but it wasn't.
I really thought this was going that way too.
David, the male lead, starring alongside Brooke Shields.
So, fun fact:
who you may know from Blue Lagoon, you perverted 15-year-old from 1999.
Brooke Shields is only 16 in this movie. Yeah. There's a full nude scene with her, which is, I feel like I'm on some sort of list now for watching that. And fun fact, like the director, right, Franco Zeffirelli, like kept like pulling her toe off camera to like make it look like she was having an orgasm.
Yeah, to like make her squirm. Like he was like tickling her feet, which almost makes me question the director's motives.
So yeah, basically, Jade is Brooke Shields' character, and then David. So Jade is a freshman.
Yeah, David, played by Martin Hewitt, who you may know from such films such as
Endless Love.
Nothing. He was in an episode of ER in 2003.
I think he was in JAG at one point.
Was probably one of his few leading roles.
So Jade's a freshman in high school. David is a senior. Okay, so that's already creepy to begin with, right? David's going to graduate. He's going to be a doctor. You know, he's smart, but he falls for Jade. And like we're talking like 18 and 16 years old.
Yeah. So, and the reason we thought it was a very like a Romeo and Juliet is his family is very much like, they're very liberal, which is weird with phrasing it that way, because they're talking about like socialism and how it's good. And
are they lawyers? But then,
yeah, but they're very like stuffy, but they're like fiscally conservative but socially liberal family is the vibe you get. Yeah, and then he goes over to Jade's family, who
very bohemian.
Yes, they are a bunch of hippies, which makes me question a lot of what happens, because the dad doesn't wear the pants in the family.
The dad's a doctor too, but like he's letting kids underage drink and smoke and like getting hammered and going to bang his wife. Yeah.
It's like so the movie starts with him going over and they're all like dressed up like a bunch of hipsters.
Yeah, and like David's
before hipsters were a thing.
It's a special night, and he's wearing like his dad's like tux, but minus the pants.
I will say this movie, for as old as it is, it came out in, was it 1981?
Yeah, 1981.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So the fact it came out in 1981, it holds up as far as like the pacing of it is very much like a teen drama that you'd see today.
Yeah.
Like it was better than I, not better. It was more watchable than I expected. Now I watched a video of At the Movies, like with what's his face? Roger Ebert.
Roger Ebert. Yeah.
Yeah, I watched them reviewing this movie, and Siskel and Ebert hated this movie, obviously. They basically called it a teenage like makeout film, like something you take your date to make out to.
Huh. I did that during Spanglish. I did it, and that's the only reason I went to go see Spanglish was to...
to make out?
Yeah, and the movie sucked.
You're like, well, it's
Adam Sandler.
It's a drama. There's gonna be something enjoyable in it.
It's like 50 First Dates, right? It's a dramedy. It's got drama, but it's funny. I went to see Spanglish, and I literally probably 5 minutes in turned my girlfriend at the time and sucked her face because it was so bad. I can't tell you a plot of that movie at all.
No, I've never seen it.
So yeah, they have this party, right? Everyone gets hammered. They make this big hullabaloo about David leaving because he had class in the morning. He's like, I got a French test. here I am leaving.
Yeah, so it's like a weekday.
Attention to myself. Yeah, yeah. It's like
they
were
doing all this happened on like a weekday.
Yeah, and so like Jade says, "Yeah, you're right. You need to leave." Okay, he's leaving now, and like they really slyly like shut the door, and he walks out from the shadows, and that's when Burke Shields takes off all their
clothes. Yeah, so the parents go to bed because they're like, "Oh, we're gonna stay up and clean up for you, mom and dad. Don't worry about it."
Yeah,
and
that was the goal.
Both right? parents that... are like wasted,
hammered. The dad's yes. like, he's like, "Hey, I'm gonna go upstairs now."
Yeah, and then so David, yeah, they do this whole like, "Oh, I'm leaving," and make this big production so the parents think he's leaving. And then they had just started a fire, but they also said, "Oh, we'll stay up and make sure it goes out." But then they left, like he allegedly like was leaving, like
yeah,
5 minutes after they went upstairs with a raging fire.
So they do what horny teenagers do.
Yeah, right? Set the scene. Tell the listeners out there if they haven't watched Endless Love, which I would say for the purposes of this podcast, just listen to the clip we're going to play later of the 45 seconds that we get Tom Cruise.
We promise, ladies and gentlemen, avid listeners, Tom Cruise will be in this film at some point. There are
going to be Tom Cruises on your Tom Cruise podcast.
I sure hope so. So
name the movie that is inspired from.
Tropic Thunder.
No. There are going to be dinosaurs on your dinosaur tour.
A Jurassic Park.
Yeah, that's why I said there are going to be Tom Cruises on your Tom Cruise show, right?
So, pardon me.
The joke isn't as funny when you don't get it.
Well, sorry for my cough. The air quality.
Hopefully the inaugural episode listeners got the joke, and now you've lost all credibility with them.
Yeah, that's fine.
I've asserted myself as the dominant host.
Okay.
I'm asserting my dominance.
So they disrobe, right? They take off their clothes. They
No. She goes upstairs or something. Jade disappears.
She acts like she's going to go upstairs.
Well, she goes like in another area because she comes out to the reveal.
She comes
and,
out.
And what okay, is she? Re- and what is she revealed? What does she reveal her nudity to? What did David do? So he strips down buck naked. Oh wait, no, he doesn't. What has he got on? Tube socks. I don't.
Yeah, tube socks and a pair of like tighty whities.
And he's like, and he's posed like George Costanza from you think of when George Costanza's modeling, and he's on the couch like that. That's what I'm thinking of. I honestly might be adding the tube socks back in. He might have not had socks on, but in my memory, he's got tube socks on.
Tidy,
but boy. Yeah, like if you're gonna like pose, and honestly, I'm thinking like
tube socks. Yeah, so they go. Do what teenagers do, right? They lay down on a bearskin rug and they start kissing, and then presumably, right, they have coitus, probably coitus interruptus. So look away, right? Because what's absolutely terrifying about the scene, and terrifying in a way that's like just her reaction, is Jade's mom comes down the stairs a little bit and watches them, sees them. She is clearly embarrassed. She goes to turn around and go back upstairs. She catches David's bare ass thrusting into her daughter.
Yes.
And she sits down and like just stares at him with lust. Like lustfully stares at him.
And she is playing how old in this film? Like 15? I believe she's 15 in the film.
Yeah, and she's 15 in the film, 16.
Because she's like a sophomore and he's a senior.
She's a freshman.
Oh, she's a freshman. Yeah, so she's playing like 14, 15.
Yeah, and he's a senior, so he's 18 years old. He's getting ready to go to college. He's going to be a doctor. And, like, it's just... It's so creepy. The mom is just terrifying.
Yeah, I want to go back up a bit. So, I realize, like, you're not going to have him, like... I guess this just goes back to like as far as David posing, there's no way for a man to pose gracefully on a bearskin rug in front of a fire waiting for his woman. Like it was just weird. Not. It was just an awkward choice of directing. Like why is she not the one?
I don't know what Franco was thinking.
Like, doesn't it seem like the kind of thing where, like, traditionally the woman's the one that would, like, be down and the man presents?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems like who's the dominant person in this? Which I guess she does have some mental dominance over him, as we'll find out later in the film.
Well, he's 18 years old. What 18? What senior falls for a freshman? Unless she's got a magic pussy, I don't know how he's falling for her.
Yeah. Well, it I think stems to some of the issues he's got, where, like, clearly he's got some mental leanings that are not all there, because he's easily persuaded, as we'll discuss later. But
we'll find that out. We'll find out here in a minute.
Yeah. So basically what happens is, like, they make love, and then he becomes obsessed with her, and you find
absolutely
out
obsessed,
and you find out that, like, David's character basically has befriended himself, and, like, with everybody, all of her family members, who
except for her brother, played by the incomparable James Spader.
Yeah, well, James Spader first was friends with him at first,
right.
Yes, but James Spader quickly realizes he's kind of a weirdo who's basically trying to get in good graces with everybody so he can continue to bang his sister.
Do you remember
other ways to phrase it?
When she calls him, and James Spader, of course, being of certain ages, we remember when we had landlines and somebody called and you're like, God, hang up the phone so we can talk, right?
Yes.
But, like, they had a rotary phone, and she was on the phone with him the entire time. And James Spader's character was just like, Keith is his name, was just like, hang up. I want to, like, so that would be annoying. It would be annoying as all get out.
Yeah. I will say the best acting in this film was by far James Spader.
Right. Exactly.
And I would say Shirley Knight, the mom, Anne, played by Shirley Knight, was probably the second best.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree.
David was like cardboard.
Yeah. He was terrible.
He was terrible.
No wonder he didn't get any more acting gigs after this.
Yeah. I don't know why half the characters did what they did.
So can we talk about, right, things get hot and heavy, right? They're both madly, deeply in love with each other, right? He sneaks out and keeps her up all night by banging her, you know, for lack of a better word. She can't study for French, even though he's still smart. One of my favorite scenes, though, is Hugh catches, which is the dad, catches them, right? And, like, goes into this tirade about, like, because Jane, he's a doctor. Jade goes in to try to get a sleeping pill. He's like, he goes off in a rant about her. But did you catch what the youngest brother said when they're fighting in the hallway?
No, but I can play it for you.
I use this quote every single day in my life.
Yeah, so here's a clip from that scene.
What are you doing? Come on, give me that. Give me that. Open your hand, Barry.
Because he's been, for lack of a better word, banging her brains out. She can't sleep.
You don't fool around with these things.
I can't sleep.
Neither can anybody else in this house.
And quickly, before, I'm going to pause it there, but what happens right before this is Hugh, the dad, catches David buck naked in her room.
Yes, he
does. And like, it's very obvious, like, he's clearly way too comfortable in the house. And then Brooke Shields, aka Jade, starts crying and throwing a hissy fit about how no one's fair. So you're saying the brother says something from the stairs?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, and I could have heard it wrong, but I'm pretty sure, like, the youngest brother, right, whoever's upstairs,
yeah, who's barely in the movie, but yes,
I feel like he says, you're tearing this family apart.
What is that? Oh, it's from You're Tearing Me Apart, from what's that movie?
Oh, The Room.
The Room, yes. But anyway.
I don't think he says that, but I thought that he said that.
Yeah, let me play it. I mean, this movie is very entertaining. It's bad, but it's good bad.
Right.
You say something else to me, you change your mind from 1 minute to the next.
Here it comes.
There's something wrong with that guy. Look at the way he sucked up to everybody.
Stay out of
this. Well, look, I was the one who brought him here. I just wanted to apologize.
Go back to your room.
James Spader.
You hear what I said?
If you want to play father, play father. If you say I can't see him, I won't. Just let me
talk.
Don't
doctor. She's a I don't know if the other brother comes in. I'm skipping around.
Hey, I got her on this house. Well,
she'll just see him in school.
I'll drag her out of school. I'll send you to live with your uncle. All
right.
Leave us alone. Ever since that kid came in this house, I've had nothing but back talk. Like this.
I'm going to find it.
David cannot.
Yeah, there we go.
I will not have this family torn apart. David.
Yeah, he doesn't say it. He'll say, I will not have this family torn apart, and Hugh says it.
Okay. He says, I can't sleep with all this racket going on. Okay.
Oh, but yes.
But I've used that too.
Yeah. But anyway, Hugh has had enough of his daughter getting plowed every night by David. So Hugh decides that when David comes over the next day, I'm sorry, sir, you aren't allowed to see Jade for the next 30 days. And you would have thought that the world was coming to an end.
You would have thought David would have pulled out a 45 and blew his head off right there.
Yeah.
If he had one.
Super depressed, hates life. He starts stalking her, essentially.
Yeah, real creepy.
And then like starts going to the family's house and watching them all having their like Thursday night parties, which Thirsty Thursdays for a mom and dad to be hosting, not a bunch of high schools over. It's a weird occurrence.
Listen, it was a different time. It was the '80s, all right? Like, you know, we weren't born for another 6 and 7 years or 8 years, respectively. So we don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, so he's down in the dumps, as you would say.
Super down in the dumps.
He's mopey and just poor David. And he clearly, nobody else is established as like having a relationship with him, which like in a modern film, like let's take Superbad, for example.
Okay.
Like Michael Cera and
Jonah Hill.
There's a buddy that kind of like keep him in check.
Oh yeah. Or McLovin.
Yes. There'd be some kind of comic relief. David doesn't have that. But they try to establish it later on, which we'll get to here in a minute. But I mean, just it was very weird. David, I feel like David's kind of a dark person.
Oh yeah, we know he's dark. We'll figure that out here in a minute. But yeah, it was just I found myself and I was going, Jesus, this movie's terrible.
Yeah.
But we'll. We got so much more to discuss.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people of all ages, the moment you've been waiting for, Mr. Tom Cruise.
Yes, we're cruising into Tom Cruise's cinematic debut in the movie Endless Love. And let's just play all 40 seconds of Tom Cruise in this film. How about that? Yep. What do you say, Dyer?
Yeah, let's do it. Sure.
Let's play the scene that he's in. He plays probably the most, I would say, pivotal role in the entire film. The whole plot hinges on this scene. Would you agree with me?
He is the linchpin of this.
Yes. So here it is.
I have an idea. What do you say? So we kidnap her. Say $1 million in ransom. Shut up. Listen, some woman did that to me, I'd burn her damn house down.
Hey, I tried that. Did I ever tell you guys? 8 years old and I was into arson.
You're full of it.
No, I'm serious. I lit a whole pile of newspapers. You ever try to light a whole pile of wet newspapers? Jeez, it smokes like crazy. I got real scared, see? Do you want to hear the wild part? It's like I'm a hero or something. They thought I saved the whole block. Hey, you better not tell her what I just...
And there it is, folks. Tom Cruise.
Okay, two things. Holy hell, does he sound young in there, right?
Yeah.
With the super high-pitched voice. Two, that iconic laugh of his is there. It's been there since he started.
It's like Tom Cruise not quite through puberty, which I believe he was 18.
When this was filmed. He was. Yeah.
But he so for those of you who have not seen the film, basically the movie cuts to this scene and then David rides up on a bike and Tom Cruise is in a pickup soccer match.
Yeah.
And he just like quits and does like an aw shucks, like I'm out, and throws his hands up. And then
he was 19 in this movie.
Okay. And he says things like gee willy. I know he doesn't say gee willy, but just the dialogue is so terrible. But Tom Cruise as an 8-year-old was an arsonist in this film.
apparently. And like he, so in every single Tom Cruise movie I've ever watched, he's had some sort of running thing, right?
Yes.
His Running
debut,
Man.
His marathon, debut.
Oh, no, wait, different movies.
His debut film. He's,
he doesn't run.
He does.
Okay, he jogs a little bit. I'm not
he's
talking
technically like, running.
I'm not talking full out sprinting like The Firm or Mission Impossible.
I am replaying the clip. He is running. He's
I didn't
sprinting.
Say he wasn't.
He is running. He's playing soccer and the ball gets stolen from him.
Okay, but we're talking like breakneck, him running with his hair flying back. Yeah. Like that's what I'm talking about.
He gives up on the soccer game. Like he just quits mid-game. He's in jorts.
And he takes his shirt off.
He's in jorts that are cut up the side of the thigh, which is a very weird look. And then he lays down in the grass and wops his face with somebody else's shirt. I'm just noticing this for the first time.
Wait, he's wearing a shirt.
He's wearing a powder blue tank top, but then he lays down and he grabs like a Henley tee that has red sleeves. So he wipes his face with somebody else's shirt. And then he laughs about being an arsonist at 8 years old. And then he lays down on his back and you see his tidy whities under his shorts.
That's right. You do. Oh gosh.
It is one of the most cringy things.
What
I've
was
seen.
The fascination with tidy whities in the
80s? I don't know. Everyone's tidy whities, which I mean, when you're 8 years old, you wear tidy whities, but like, just the whole
when you're 19.
No, I know, but it's weird. It's weird. He lays down but basically his name, his whole thing is David overhears this and gets an idea. But before we get to that, let's dwell on Tom Cruise, because that's the whole point of the show. Tom Cruise's role as Billy sets the tone for the entire filmography of Tom Cruise. He's got a dark side. He's likable. He's athletic.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's
the perfect
affable.
Person to play Jack Reacher.
He's got charisma in spades. He's got charisma coming out of his ears.
He's got off-center twofers.
But yeah, I would say for your first role, I think this is a good one.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, this is what sprung like his acting career, right? And you know, but he steals the scene that he's in.
Well, he's the whole thing. I mean, everybody else is just window dressing for the scene. Like he's the only one that has dialogue in the whole film and the whole scene,
except for the friend that says, "Let's be a kidnapper for and hold her hostage for $1 million."
Oh well, yeah, but if you go back and watch it, everybody else is I think it's called ADR, where they record their voice, the voiceover afterwards. Tom Cruise is the only one that's like the words match up with his mouth.
Oh, okay. I didn't notice so that.
It's like everybody else was recorded later at a different time. Yes. Tom Cruise. I don't know if it's it's probably a continuity error that he uses somebody else's shirt to mop his face with.
Probably.
But I love the fact that he's just such a jackass that he just takes someone else's shirt
and wipes his face off
because he quits on the soccer game because he gets the ball stolen.
Yeah, I mean that seems to be Tom Cruise's brand. So David, right? You can almost see the light bulb go off at this point. He goes, "That's what I need to do. I need to burn these newspapers so she'll love me again, and her parents will let me see I'm a hero."
Yeah, because he was going to save everybody. Well, it doesn't go well.
So no, it does not.
He goes to the Thursday night fun fest and tries to burn down the house. Well, he doesn't try to burn down the house.
He tries to call her multiple times.
Yes.
And Keith says, "That's David. Don't answer the phone." And like literally like unplugs the phone from the wall. Remember how easy it was to like just have nobody call you? Just unplug the phone from the wall back in the day?
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Oh, man. Like a little sidebar here. There are times for work I'll go somewhere and I'll lose cell signal for like 3 hours. It's amazing. I forget how awesome it is to be unplugged from the world like that.
Yes.
So David tries to get in. He tries to throw rocks, right? Everyone's going to bed. He's trying to get Jade's attention. Nothing happens. So he gets the idea from Billy. I'm going to light these newspapers on fire, pour them out, and I'm going to be the hero. Hey, walking by and I noticed your newspapers were on fire and I went ahead and saved it, you know, because I love Jade and I, you know, I care for you guys. And
yeah, isn't there a bucket of water that he like is going to use to like put it out and then accidentally kicks it over?
Exactly. Yes. Because he lights it, right? Goes. It's
which I guess that was a thing in the 80s. You just have a bunch of pile of newspapers out on your front porch.
Yeah. Like it catches fire too quickly because of the high winds. He goes to get the bucket to pour it out, kicks over the bucket, panics instead of, and literally the whole house burns down. But he goes inside to get Jade. Doesn't Keith push him down the stairs or he gets knocked out?
Yeah, he basically slips down the stairs and gets knocked out and would have died if it wasn't for Hugh saving him.
Yeah, Hugh has a change of heart and helps. Well, not really. He helps save him.
Yes. But I don't know if it's the next scene, but basically it didn't go well. It was very obvious that he was an arsonist.
Well, he like we said earlier, he's very persuadable, right? He's very malleable, even though as a guy getting ready to graduate high school, go to college to be a doctor, he's not very smart.
No, he's kind of a dum-dum. So he gets
institutionalized.
Yeah, so like he's basically sentenced to, was it 1 year or 2 year?
I think it was two.
Well,
I
think it was it's 2 years probation, but then I don't think he was going to have to be there for 2 years, but he's just like crazy.
And he skips out on going to meetings with the doctor, and the orderly says, "Hey, you have group today." He goes, "I'm not going." He was like, "Okay, but this is that fourth time this week." It's like,
yeah, that's why he stays there for basically the two full years. So he went from right. Not being able to see her for 30 days.
And because
until the end of the school year.
He writes her a letter every single day, mails it out to her, and they literally, like, the people at the front desk
are like, "Nope."
Take the letters and like put them, because like, he has a no contact order with her.
Yes.
Like that's part of his terms of his probation. Like,
yeah.
You serve out this time in the loony bin. You have a no contact. You cannot talk to her at all. So finally his parents come to visit him, right? His parents come to visit him, and what happens?
Which time?
The when second he like, time.
No,
the first time. The first time is like, where they see the guy in the courtyard going,
yeah, the guy making faces, and he like yells at him to stop.
Right, right.
He like snaps on the crazy guy.
Yeah, he's like, "Is this what you want? Because if I'm in here any longer, that's what your son's gonna be."
Yes.
And like, the second time his parents come, they finally like agree to let him out early.
Yes.
Cut to the next scene, and he was like, "He was let out early? What the fuck, I wasn't
mad." Yeah, Hugh's
not thrilled.
Yeah, to be fair, Hugh's the only pragmatic person, adult, in the whole film.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Because, like, later on, I mean, I don't think I care about, like, jumping ahead, but,
no,
like, later on, Hugh leaves his wife. But, I mean, she was the one, like, okay with all the underage drinking, all the partying, which obviously led to the events that transpired in the film. Hugh's the only one of sound mind.
Did he leave her or did she leave him?
I think he left her. Because it seems like he's got the significant other first. So I think...
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
the whole dynamic there is the mom who watched them make love for the first time.
That's right.
It was all like for them being in love together.
That's right.
And he was like, "No, my daughter's like 15. This is dumb.
You're a rapist, sir. You are." Chris Hansen walks out. "Why don't you have a seat right here?
No,
why don't you sit down?"
The scene that I played with Hugh going ballistic,
yeah,
on the stair in the hallway and on the stairs is the most logical,
exactly,
interaction of the whole film.
If any one of us had our children, had that happen to our children, I feel like we'd do the same thing.
I feel like later on in this film, Billy, aka Tom Cruise, ends up in the mental institution.
I feel like he does too.
I guarantee he ends up in the loony bin. In the loony bin with, I wish I knew the guy's name. It was like
I feel like he's just laughing away. He's like, one time I told this guy to burn down a house for a girl that he liked.
Gee Willers. So
his parents get him out, right? They bring him back home.
He's still on probation though.
Right. He can't leave Chicago, right?
Yeah.
He can't have any contact with Jane still. I mean Jade, I'm sorry.
Which then, risky business takes place in Chicago.
It's all connected. Do. cue David Mulder coming in. I want to believe. So his dad's talking to him, and he's like, you know what? He goes, seeing you in love made me realize how much I was in love with another woman. Your mom and I have been separated for like 6 weeks.
Yes.
Yeah, he's like, he goes, I love this other woman. And he goes, oh, by the way, and he pulls out like a three-inch
every letter he wrote to Jade.
And I went, what a dick thing to say for your dad. He's like, welcome.
I got you a job.
Yeah. He's like, I got you. You're out of the loony bin. You think everything's going to go back to normal. Oh, by the way, your mother and I are separated. I'm in love with another woman. I've been seeing her for about 6 weeks now. And here's every single letter you ever
wrote
her.
And then they're surprised when he learns that Jade has. How does he find out that Jade has moved to New York?
I feel like his dad tells him.
I think it must be.
I feel like his dad says she
to service the plot. Yeah,
to move the plot forward.
She's moved to New York. You can start new is basically the whole tenor of that discussion. Exactly. I'm starting new. You're starting new.
Everyone's starting new.
Yeah, that's basically how it goes.
They didn't necessarily say how much time elapsed from when he came back from the loony bin to when he goes to New York. Do they?
I feel like it's like a matter of like a couple weeks or possibly months.
Like, so he's still on probation. He can't leave.
Yeah, it's very clear that he's violating probation by going to New York.
So he goes to New York, right? He walks into this apartment building, turns down a hallway that looks like it's a scene from a serial killer documentary.
Yes.
Pitch black, nothing. He rings the doorbell, and who answers the door? Jade's mom.
Jade's mom, who has a very suave apartment.
Yeah, it's like a sunken.
It's a real nice apartment.
It's a real nice place. I mean, probably not though.
Yeah, so basically we get a whole Jade's mom is like, I'm so envious of what you guys had.
Jade's mom has got it going on.
And then basically David gets seduced by Jade's mom, but then
She tries to Mrs. Robinson him.
Yes.
Cue Dustin Hoffman, who was in Rain Man. With Tom Cruise, who was in A Few Good Men with Kevin Bacon. So therefore, Dustin Hoffman's Bacon number is 2. yeah, that's right. We did that.
Yeah. So
he turns her down, right?
He's still
in love with Jade after all these years.
It's been a couple weeks since I watched this.
Yeah, me too. She's obviously moved on with her life, right? Right? Did she move on?
She's got her own place, right?
Right.
She's living with the mom.
No, she's got her own place.
Does she? Or does she just have like a... No, David has a hotel. That's where they meet. But right. So she must be living with the mom. And her... I guess Hugh has left Jade's mom.
Yes.
Once again, Hugh's the only one of sound, logical mind.
Exactly. Jade's mom unfortunately slid off her chair after David left.
Basically, Hugh's still pissed that this kid got off so easy for burning down his house and ruining his family. He sees them. He knows he got off easy, and he's like, "Oh my god, I hate this kid." And then what do you know? He sees the kid across the street in New York. Gets so pissed when he's with his new fiance. I think, are they married yet? Yeah. Or his mistress? Whatever. But he basically gets so pissed, he goes across the street and gets hit by a vehicle.
It hits him.
Yeah, he gets hit by a vehicle. His shoes don't fly off, but he gets rammed by a vehicle.
Wasn't David the one driving it?
No.
Okay.
No, he sees David across the street.
And that's right. He gets so mad. Yeah.
He gets so mad he's got to cross like 8 lanes of New York traffic.
And doesn't Keith figure out that David was in the area and that's why his dad ran across the street?
Yes. Yeah. So Blacklist sees him across the, finds out that that's what happened. Like, you're the reason why he got hit by a vehicle.
David Axelrod, or whatever his name is a character on the Blacklist.
Yeah, which is a good show, but after like the first season, you've seen it.
Yeah, I think after season like 6, which maybe after season 5, it all goes downhill.
Yeah, but essentially, he's what's James Spader's name in
Raymond Reddington.
No, his name in The Office. Oh, Robert Keith. California. He's essentially Robert California, but with...
in the movie. In the movie, his name's Keith.
Yeah, his movie's name's Keith.
Yeah.
Anyway,
in the show, in The Blacklist, it's Raymond Reddington.
Yes, but no, I'm saying Raymond Reddington is basically Robert California, but only instead of knowing business dealings, he's a knows how the dark side of the world works.
Exactly. So I don't necessarily, because it's been a while since I've watched it. Does anything come of it? Like, Jade and him don't get together, do they?
No, it basically ends on a somber note.
That's right.
Yeah. It doesn't end well. Because he very clearly violated his parole. Does he end up in prison? How did this end?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. It's a fun movie, honestly. Like, I actually like, it's very watchable. Like, right. it's better than I expected by far. I'm trying to find a description of how it ends, and I think it's fruitless. And it's not related to Tom Cruise, other than Tom Cruise was in the film. So I'm going to let it go.
He was in it for 45 seconds.
8 years old and I was into arson.
Here. 8 years old and I was into arson.
Nice.
But yeah. One thing we're going to do on this show is we're going to rank every film of Tom Cruise's and get the definitive list, according to Cruising Through Cinema, as far as the official rankings. I would say watch the Tom Cruise film if you like Tom Cruise, or the Tom Cruise
scene. Right? Like running.
Excuse me? Hello, sir. Hi.
I'm going to give this 2 Tom Cruise runnings out of 10.
Yeah, I'm going to give this the overall film. Yeah, it's not great. I would
the 45 seconds of Tom Cruise.
Got as far as like, if you're like saying this is good film, it's fun in a bad way. But if I'm rating it like on a, like if I would say like, oh, if you're watching it with some friends to get a laugh, it's like maybe a 3.5. But as far as it stands on its own, it's a 2. I would agree. It's two strides of Tom Cruise running.
Like, if you and I were watching this together, we would obviously be drunk and it would be hilarious.
There's a lot of like cringeworthy, like, why was that the choice of the writing on this? Is just like, nobody acts that way.
Right. Yeah. It's like they put a bunch of like 50-year-olds and said, honestly, what do you think 18-year-olds say?
And I believe this movie was remade in 2014, but it would be, and I think it's like another serious take on the subject matter. But I think if this was done as a comedy, it could actually be good. Like, it wouldn't take much changing to make this a comedy. Add some slapstick humor, add some, like, I don't know. I could see it holding its own as a comedy.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it could be like a rom-com type thing, you know, or just a comedy in general. But yeah.
Yeah.
It was not very good.
So that brings us to next week's film, which is Taps, which is the next film in chronological order of Tom Cruise's filmography. Taps stars.
Right. 1980.
Yeah. 1981. So it came out the same year as this film, which is crazy because I believe Tom has a much bigger role. So
Scott, Timothy Hutton, Sean Penn, Mr. Tom Cruise himself.
And then a bunch of people you've never heard of. But yeah, Sean Penn, Ronnie Cox, and Tom Cruise.
You may have heard of this guy, Juan Carlo Esposito, better known as Gus Fring
from Breaking Bad. Yes, it does have Gus Fring. And
then that's about it.
I've heard of Billy Van Zandt, but I don't know from what.
Billy Van Zandt.
That's the name I know. He's kind of a.
Oh, Billy Van Zandt. Yeah, when has he been in?
He's been in Jaws 2, The Hughleys, Newhart, and Mark. He's been in a bunch of TV shows. Yeah, he's mostly a TV actor. So he's like a bit part in a bunch of TV series. Like a recurring character kind of person.
Oh, yeah. He's got that face. So.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited. I've never seen Taps. It'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
It's good. I'm excited to see what this has in store for us. This has been the inaugural episode of Cruising Through Cinema. Once again, I'm Dennis.
And I'm Dyer.
Until next time, don't start any fires.